In keeping with some things that you talked about yesterday and what you just presented a few minutes ago, in looking at the present moment and the beingness that just unfolds, nothing there in my experience ever says universal. And I tend to get stuck on that word because there's nothing missing until somebody says universal and one. And then when I look, I don't see that. There's nothing in this moment. There's nothing. Nothing seems to be missing until I hear that word. So I don't understand that part of what you and many other people say about the oneness and the universality. What unfolds seems to encompass whatever's available, but it doesn't say, nothing there says.
Okay. So
more.
Do you understand that when we're listening to the name, to this music, there's only one thing that is being modulated? It's called breath. Yeah?
Yes.
You're only listening to the breath.
Yes.
It's one substance. It appears as music, as a multiplicity and diversity of notes. Yes? But it's one substance. Yeah? So our experience is like that. Our experience, all we know, is thinking, sensing, and perceiving. Yes? Are you with me?
Yes.
Have you ever known anything other than thinking, sensing, or perceiving? No. Okay. Now, thinking, sensing, and perceiving are made out of something. Yes? They have to be. They have to be made out of something. Let's just call it something. Yeah. Now, in fact, instead of calling it thinking, sensing, and perceiving, let's just call it experiencing.
Okay.
Yeah? All we've ever known is experiencing. Yeah? Now, experiencing must be made out of something. Yes, experiencing is present now. Yes? It's present now.
Yes.
It's present now. It's present now. It's never not been present in your experience.
Yes.
Okay. Now, thoughts are not always present. Yes?
Right.
Therefore, experiencing can't be made out of a thought, because experiencing is ever present. Thoughts are intermittent. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Now, seeing or sights, like this room, are not always present. Yes?
Correct.
So experiencing can't be made out of a sight. Sounds are not always present. Yes?
Right.
So experiencing can't be made out of a sound, although all sound is made out of experiencing. Yeah?
Yes.
Tastes, textures, images, memories, hopes, fears, everything. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Then they're intermittent. But experiencing remains. Now what is experiencing made of? Because experiencing is the substance of all thoughts, of all images, of all sensations, of all perceptions. Yes? So you can't say that you don't experience experiencing. That's all you know.
Right.
This substance called experiencing, you know it.
Yes.
You don't know anything other than that. But it's not made of a thought, a sensation, or a perception. So all you know is this one substance. What is it? If you had to try to give it, try to describe it, what could you say about it?
It's just here. I mean,
okay.
I don't give it a name, it's just
No, but I'm here. I'm asking you to try to name it. If you had to try to describe it.
I know we can't name it existence.
Okay, that's good, yeah. Okay, I understand that no words are accurate, but I'm just trying to use words. So it's present,
mm-hmm.
It's existent. What else is it made of? Whatever it's made of must be always present. We know it's not made of a thought, because thoughts aren't always present.
Right.
Experiencing is always present, so whatever it is made of must be always present. What is always present in our experience?
Just the beingness.
Okay, beingness, yes. What else?
I can't go any further.
No, you can. You can. Just go in your experience. What is always present?
Just awareness of
perfect
existence.
Beingness and awareness. Perfect.
But I don't separate those two.
Perfect. It's another name for the same thing. In fact, awareness means the presence of, ness, the presence of, that which is aware. So in the word awareness, both being and consciousness or awareness are included. You're right, not to separate them. So it's not, but it's not just being, it's an aware being, it's a knowing being. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
This is the substance of all experience. Yes? And you tell me you don't know what is being referred to when people say there is only one.
There's no understanding that goes anywhere beyond what I'm aware of. So universality seems to imply something far greater than...
If something is universal, it means it's just not broken up into parts. Yes? That's what it means. It's universal. It's not personal or limited. It's instead of using the word universal, let's call it unlimited. To be limited, it must... If something is limited, it must be made out of something objective, yes? It must have an observable quality to it. It must end somewhere. Yeah?
See, that's... I know, when I read your book and you said that, I could not follow that.
Okay.
Because it seems as if
so
there
back.
Can be beingness, existence, but what does that have to do with you? That's showing up.
Go back to being awareness, knowing being, yes? Because I want to go back to your experience. I want to start with,
yes.
I don't want to go into philosophy with you. I want to start with what's real for you. And you've said that all of your experience is made out of being, knowing being,
yes.
Being awareness. Written, all one word, yeah? Aware being, aware presence.
Yes.
Everything is made out of that. Okay, now, one substance, yes? So, is that substance limited? Try to find a limit to it now in your experience.
The limit seems to be the existence seems to have a cultural time place limitation.
Try to find a limit. Right now. Try to point towards a limit, an edge, a border in this substance that you describe called knowing being. Right now, not in philosophy, but now in your experience, can you point towards a place where it comes to an end?
Well, it seems to come to an end for all the mind-body limitations.
No, but don't talk about all the mind-bodies, because you're not experiencing all the mind-bodies.
Okay.
Stick to your experience. I don't want to philosophize with you about all the mind-bodies. That's just a concept.
No. I'm just saying my mind-body limitations. It seems to be limited by my mind-body limitations. Mm-hmm. I can't see 7 miles. I can't hear...
So you talk about 7 miles. What knowledge do we have of 7 miles? Mm-hmm. Where is 7 miles? What is 7 miles? It's an idea. Don't go into ideas. Stay with your experience.
Okay.
Go back to your experience. Okay, I want to rewind now to, mm-hmm. to something that you said, which I could tell was true. That all your experiencing is made out of this stuff, which is, you quite rightly said, it's present.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's existent or it's being. But it's also knowing or aware. Okay, now let's go back to there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, thoughts, this knowing being, it is modulated in thinking. It takes the shape of thinking.
Yes.
But it's not made out of thinking, because thoughts are limited, yes?
Yes.
What should we have for lunch? Okay, it's gone. It came to an end. It's limited.
Right.
Sensing, sensations. They start and they stop. So this ever-present stuff, knowing being, can't be made out of something that is limited. We find limits to thoughts. We find limits to perceptions. We find limits to sensations. Yeah? Now go back to your experience. Can you find a limit in this transparent, knowing being? Now, right now, in your experience, can you find an edge to it?
I want to go back and say that the edges are the limits of sense perception.
No, I understand that sense perceptions have limits.
But it seems like it would not be there without sense perceptions. Like yesterday you were talking about deep sleep.
Now you're contradicting yourself. I just early we agreed that it wasn't made out of a perception, because sense perceptions come and go. Yeah, rub your hands together. Yeah, that's a perception, yeah. A sensation.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Now it ceases.
Yes.
Has experiencing ceased?
Of that, yes.
No,
no,
has experiencing
ceased? No.
So it cannot be made out of a sensation. Sensation, any sensation, an object, a so-called object, like a sensation, a thought, a feeling, an idea, a perception, mm-hmm. they come and go. They seem to come and go. They're limited. Yes?
Yes.
But the stuff out of which they are made, this pure knowing being, doesn't come and go. It doesn't share their limits.
It doesn't share their limits, but it also seems as if it has to have something to be aware of.
No, it doesn't.
I have no experience of that.
You do. You experience it all the time. If I were to ask you the question, are you present?
Yes.
The answer is yes. How do you know?
Based on experiencing.
No, it's... You know your own being before you know a thought. What you're saying is this. What you're saying is tantamount to saying this. When you look at a... When you're watching a film on TV, it's an image of a city, and a red car drives into the picture. What you're saying is the screen is red. That the nature of the screen is red. In other words, it's limited. Redness is not a part of the screen. The screen can take on the form of redness, but when redness disappears, that which was taking the form of redness hasn't disappeared. It now takes the form of a yellow car and then a green landscape.
And you're talking about when there's nothing.
That substance, that screen is not limited by the redness, the yellowness, the greenness. It seems to be. The screen seems to take on the limitations of the car, of the landscape, of the house. The screen seems to become limited by what appears on it. But you only have to go up to the screen to touch it to see no. And it's the same thing. Awareness seems to take on the limitations of the body and the mind. And that is how a separate entity is formed. When we feel that our being shares the limited qualities of a body and the mind, and then this unlimited presence of awareness seems to become a limited, contracted, separate self as a result of this apparent limitation. But awareness is never truly limited by anything that appears in it or on it, in just the same way that the screen is never limited by an image that appears on it. And if you really go to your experience, you'll see that that's your experience right now. You, the one that is hearing these words, is not limited by any thought or feeling. How do we know this? Because in order to be limited, it must be an object, yes? Something that is non-objective, something which is just pure being, can't be limited. A limit must be perceived, it must be objective.
But what are you saying is there when there's nothing to be seen on the screen? That seems to be what you're coming back to.
I'm saying that the screen is there whether the film is on or not. Yes.
And I'm saying, I have no experience of that because there's always something in my awareness.
I'm suggesting that your knowledge of your own being is your experience of that. But because you're looking for some exotic experience of the knowing of your own being, you fail to see that actually you do know your own being. It's the thing you know best and most. You know it before you know anything else. You know that I am. That experience is the knowing of your own being as it is. Thought then adds, superimposes all kinds of ideas onto this I am-ness and makes it seem as if what I am is a body and a mind and a limited entity and an unhappy self.
I guess I would just go back to say that in experience, existence never has an absence of some appearance. So I don't see what you're actually pointing to here. I mean, I understand it conceptually, but in real experience, existence always has an object of some sort. I mean, we talked yesterday about deep sleep, but that's not in my experience.
How do you know?
I've never experienced existence without an object.
How do you know?
No memory of it.
So
it
what?
It doesn't show
what? Can you remember what you were thinking exactly 3.5 hours ago?
It doesn't appear right now.
Can you remember what you were thinking 3.5 hours ago?
No. I don't need to. Existence has a different form right now.
No. You said, I have no memory of it. And you were positing that as a proof that if you have no memory of it, it's not real. I'm just pointing out to you that your memory is not a reliable thing to... is not something reliable. You can't remember what you were thinking 3.5 hours ago.
Right.
And yet you have no doubt that that thought was present. So what does memory know about awareness? You're relying on your mind to tell you about something that was present when the mind was not present. That's what you're trying to do. You're using your mind to judge whether or not something is present when the mind is not present. How could the mind know that?
Well, come back to the moment then. Existence seems to be made of apparent objects. I mean, let's not get into objects versus no objects.
Now you're contradicting the very first statement we made. You said existence seems to be made out of objects. But right at the beginning of this conversation, we walked slowly through a contemplation of our experience where we discovered that experiencing is ever-present. Thoughts, sensations, and perceptions.
Okay, so let me say it differently. It never seems to be there in the absence of appearances.
I'm not interested in how things seem. I agree, it seems like that, but I'm not interested in how things seem to be. I'm interested in how things are. So I would go back, right back to the beginning of your experience and to the beginning of this conversation and ask yourself, because we keep contradicting ourselves. Is it true that experiencing is made out of a thought, a sensation, or a perception? Or is it not true? That's the first thing to establish.
Only based
on your experience. Don't think, just ask, is this stuff called experiencing? Is it made out of a thought, a sensation, or a perception? Do that on homework on your own. Because it takes time. We say 1 minute, yes it is. The next minute we say, no, it's not. So just take some time to go there in your experience. Find out for yourself. Is this ever-present substance of experiencing, is it made out of a thought, or a sensation, or a perception? If not, what is it made of? And if this stuff that it is made of is not made out of a thought, a sensation, or a perception, it cannot be objective. And if it cannot be objective, it cannot be limited. Just stay with that contemplation, but don't go there thinking. I don't want to argue with you philosophically. I want you to go there, and I don't want to convince you of anything. I don't want you to adopt what I'm saying. I'm trying to push you back to your experience.
I don't know if I want to go too much further with it, but something notices experience. I can say that's clear.
Okay.
Experience comes and goes.
What is that something?
First
of all, is it yourself?
No, I don't give it that name.
Okay, but let's just call it something. You said something notices
awareness.
Let's call it something.
Yeah.
You tell me what you'd like to call it.
Well, our common word is awareness.
Let's call it awareness then. Awareness notices experience, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can right now, and this is a statement you've made from your experience, therefore you must know it, awareness. Go to your experience of awareness and tell us if you find any limits there.
Well, since it allows anything, I can't find a limit.
Okay, perfect. That's what's called being unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
And unlimited is another name for universal. So that's the answer to your question. You've just gone there. Your question started with, I don't experience I don't know what you mean by universal. You've now just gone there in your experience. You said something notices experience. That something is awareness. When I go there, I find that it is unlimited. That's it. You've answered your question.